Amen. Can everybody hear me okay? Praise God for being in the house of the Lord. And just, it's always an honor and a blessing to be in the house of the Lord and be in His presence. And Pastor Ray is actually on vacation this week in Florida. And he's enjoying the atmosphere out there with him and his wife. And it's always a blessing for the pastors of this church and the leadership to be able to go, especially the head pastor, and be able to go and get a break and get a relaxation. So we're happy about that. And so he's given me the privilege to be able to share with everybody today the Word of God. And so this is an honor for me and just definitely a privilege to be able to be here. But before I start, I'd like to come to the Lord and pray and ask for His hand. Holy God, we come before You. And Father, I ask that, God, You would speak to Your people. I ask that Your Holy Spirit, God, would do a movement, would do a work, Father God, here this morning. I ask that, God, You would change lives. Father God, I ask that, God, You would speak, Lord God, from Your throne, and that, God, You would speak to our hearts. Lord, after this, Lord God, service, let us not be the same. Let us be different. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a woman who was, she had a family, and she was pregnant, and she went to the movies. She wanted to go and have a good time. The kids wanted to see this new movie that was out, and so they decided they were going to go to the movies. And so they go to the movies. They're excited about it, excited about what they're going to see. And as they get there, they go and they pick up some popcorn and some soda and some candy. And, you know, everybody is so excited. And then they hear a loud sound. And the sound is so loud that their ears are ringing, and they hear more sounds, and they're realizing that this is a gun. And people all around are being shot at, including this woman. She is pregnant, and here she is fighting for her life. This was the experience of many at Aurora, Colorado. Just recently, that happened a couple of weeks ago. As a madman comes in and he rushes into a theater and he shoots into a crowd of innocent people because of some things that might have happened in his background and his life. And so he lashes out in anger. The message that we're going to be talking about today is "You Shall Not Murder." This is the series that Pastor Ray has been talking about with the Ten Commandments. And so we're continuing that series. And we're going to deal with this issue that is prevalent throughout the world. And we see it happen in so many different kinds of ways. But in a lot of ways, we don't apply it to our own lives. And so there's a lot of directions that I could have gone with this topic. There's a lot of issues around it, a lot of controversy around it, but I wanted to deal with it and how it deals with us personally. And so if you would turn to your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. And I'll be reading Genesis chapter 4, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 15. That's Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. And it says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, 'I have acquired a man from the Lord.' Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock in their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive, a vagabond, you shall be on the earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive, a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." And the Lord said to him, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. We're going to talk a little bit about this family. The first murder, the first crime that happened of all time happened in the first family. And as we see here, it talks about murder, but it shows that murder doesn't begin with the action, that murder starts in the heart. See, Cain had a problem. Cain had a problem with his brother. He was jealous. He was angry that his sacrifice wasn't good enough. And so he retaliated and he acted out that anger. And so when a person intentionally takes the life of another person from a heart of malice. And so it comes out from what is within. In a lot of our homes today, because we have to bring this home. We have to bring this personally. We see how we can go and we can point the finger and say, "Hey, that shouldn't have happened. This guy's a madman. This guy's crazy. He shouldn't have went off and he shouldn't have shot a whole lot of people out here in the communities." But what happens on a day-to-day? I was just out at the supermarket the other day, and as I was there, you know, it seems like the hotter the sun gets, the hotter the day gets, the hotter people are around the collar. And as I was walking through and I was trying to move my cart through the aisles, a number of things happened. A number of times my patience was tested. And I began to see God must be preparing me for the sermon on Sunday. And so as I'm pushing through, I'm trying to push through and trying to dodge people. I get past one person, and she says out the corner of her mouth, "Learn how to drive." I'm posted in, and I'm in one aisle. A guy comes up to me and says, "You got all this stuff everywhere. You know, can you move it?" So I'm thinking, you know what? Let me not think back to my old days, and get back into the flesh, and let me pray. And so it keeps going, and it keeps persisting, and more and more. And then I hear somebody, they almost get into a fight, and I'll say, "Oh, that was almost me. Praise God for answering my prayer." And I'm seeing all around us, and all around me is a whole lot of angry people. And I was like, wow, you know, our world today is just filled with hostility. And where is it coming from? Where is all this anger? Where is all this malice, this hate coming from? Why are people so ready to lose it, to go off? Maybe not just why is everybody out there, why are we like that? The answer is it's in the heart. We're sinful. We're sinful people. And we may not be going out there shooting people, but maybe we are in our minds. Maybe we slapped a bunch of people in our minds. Maybe we're going off and losing it on the inside. And so, what is happening? What is happening to us? I want to talk about personally how to handle this. And as I said, there is a war going on in a lot of our homes. Maybe there is some civil rivalry going on. Maybe couples just aren't getting along. I was just talking to a friend of mine this morning, and he was telling me, we went to a Bible college. Pastor Ray and I, we went to the same Bible college, and his brother as well. And we were talking, and he was telling me about, now these are people who, a lot of these people are going into ministry and going to doing the work of God. And he was telling me just all the marriages of people that he knows that are just breaking up. I personally know of pastors who they were served divorce papers, and I see that there's something going on in our home. There's a war. There's an assault out against us by the enemy of darkness to steal, kill, and destroy. To still kill that which God has given us. And so maybe there has been some things that have happened in the past and you never got over it. Maybe it was early in the marriage and you never got over it. Maybe your brother or sister said something, did something to you, and you never got over it. We can't reach people around us until we can reach the people right in our own homes, until we can reach the people right that are our own blood. But maybe like Cain, we're not willing to do that. Maybe we can't get past it. We can't get over it. But you know, when we hold a grudge, it builds up. It doesn't just go away. You don't just put it under the carpet. It builds up. It builds up. There's a story about a man who, he was a little strange, and he actually liked animals, but weird type animals, not like dogs and cats. He wanted an ape to come. He was going to get a cage. This was a wealthy man. He wanted an ape. He said he was going to raise it. It would be small. He wanted to see its growth. And he went to go buy it, but they said, okay, you can keep the ape until a certain age. When it gets a certain age, it can overpower you. It's an animal. It's not a human. It's an animal. It will respond, and you will not be able to come back from that if you get hit by this thing. He said, I know. At the right age, I will do that. I will let the animal go. Well, through the course of time, he began to really love this thing, and it became, this was his pet, like his pet dog. He had a pet ape, and he would come, and he really fell in love. He loved this thing so much. So over time, it was time for him to get rid of it, and he said, No. I'm not getting rid of it. He's all right. He learned, you know, like it'll be okay. Well, one time he comes in, he goes in to feed it. Right away, the thing jumps up, jumps on him, pounces on him, kills the man. That's how it is when we hold on to grudges. See, grudges, they don't just stay small. People told you, get rid of it, let it go. It's going to hurt you in the long run. But we don't let it go. We hold on until something happens. You know that bitterness is one of the leading causes of heart attacks. of heart disease. That when you have when you have that type of stress built up, it can literally kill you. Or maybe it's not even your own physical self. Maybe it's your family, and it's that son that you told over and over again to stop doing that. And you built up anger. And it got to the point where you held on to the grudge. Now your son doesn't even want to talk to you anymore. He's not even around. Because just like that hate, it grips us. It pounces on us. And it destroys us. Let us not be destroyed. Want us to turn to First John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. Verse 14 through 15. And it says, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brethren abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." Now we see some people, I remember, and I go to a lot of different churches, and I travel around from different churches and fellowship with them. And I remember this one particular church, as I walked in, it was so cold. You know, I almost saw smoke, you know, air coming out of my mouth. And I'm not talking about temperature-wise. It was just cold people. And I remember, as I walked in, I remember the tension that I could see. I remember how it seemed to be like there were groups, and you know, little people had their own clique over here, and then their own clique, and clique. And I remember thinking, man, you know, what's going on in here? If we can't love one another, then how do we love God? You know, and I think that if we, you know, we can learn from other people's examples. And as I surveyed this, I thought, you know what, maybe I'll bring this home, and I'll say, hey, you know what, are there some things that maybe even we can do better? Are we embracing everybody, or are we hands off? Or there are certain people that we won't get close to? When I was I was dating my wife, and I was waiting for her at the ferry, and for her to come, and we were going to go out. And as I was waiting there was a man that came up to the window. And as he came up to the window, he asked me if I had some money, and I said sure, you know, and I gave him some money, and we began to talk, and then I said, God bless you, and somehow the conversation got to that I was a pastor, and he said, oh, you're a pastor? And I said, yeah. And he said, I'm surprised that you're a pastor. I said, why is that? He said, because you gave me money. and he said, you know, because pastors, you know, they just walk past me. He said, I used to lay in front of a church to get shelter, and everybody would be coming out, praise God, hallelujah, God is good. And they would walk right over me, right past me. and wouldn't give me anything. And they just came out of this glorious worship and choir and everything. And then they came out and they just walked past me. And I said, I'm sorry to hear that. That's not the Church of Christ that God wants. And you know, the thing is, a lot of times what we do as people is we look at appearance. And we don't look at the heart. We don't wait to see what's behind the door. But God, he doesn't just look at the outward appearance. He looks at what's on the inside. He cares about what's inside. And what's inside of a lot of us is not good. It's not good. We need God to do a spiritual surgery. How are we loving people? How are we acting with people? If somebody were to ask us today, if somebody were to come and say, you know, I know brother so and so, I know sister so and so, and if they were to give a report on you, would somebody know that you were a Christian? If when we're driving, because see, I know that's the place where we all start going back, myself included. And we start, you know, and somebody cuts us off and, you know, shows us number one and we're ready to jump out the car. You know, but what are we doing? You know, I actually was talking to brother Chad, and my he said he has a 99.1 sticker on the back of his car, and he said, "Man, I'll get you a sticker." And I said, "You know what? Don't get me a sticker yet." I said, "I'm still God's working on me with that." You know, I don't want to give a bad reputation to God, but you know, it's God. When people look at our life in the everyday, because it's in the everyday life, you know, standing up here, it's easy. You know, being in church, coming in, you know, getting dressed up, smelling good. It's easy, you know, put a nice smile on and say, "I love Jesus." But it's the everyday grind. You know, college students, you know, your roommate, over and over, you told them, you got stuff all over the place. Clean this up. But he never does it. Right? And right there, there's a problem. What are you going to do? You going to do what Jesus would do? Or are you going to do what you want to do? You know, it's those little things. You know, man, your wife asks you, can you please take out the garbage? Are you going to do what you want to do? You know, or are you going to do what God wants you to do? What are we doing in those everyday moments? A lot of us want to be, you know, a star, and we want to be able to when people are watching. We live in the age of everybody wanting to be famous. Facebook, you know, everybody on Facebook is a star, right? You know. Everybody wants to know about their life, you know. But what about when nobody sees? Who are we? Because who you are when nobody sees is who you really are. That's who you are. I'm not, you know, if I want to really know how somebody is, I'm not just going to ask them. I'm going to ask their wife. I'm going to ask their kids, their husband. I'm going to ask them, because you know why? They know. They know the truth. they know what you're doing when things aren't going your way. And life is hard, right? Life is hard, but God requires us to be obedient even when life is hard. That doesn't just give us the excuse to just do what we want to do. Oh, I'm having a bad day, so I'm going to just tell everybody off. No, that's not the right perspective. You know, but that's how we get. If I'm having a bad day, everybody's going to have a bad day. Right? Don't cut me off because you don't know what's going to happen. You know, is that how we should be, or should we say, God, let me surrender. Let me surrender. Let me take up the Bible, the Word of God says, take up the cross daily and follow me. Take up the cross. Now he didn't say take up the vacation. He didn't say take up the extra paycheck. He said take up the cross. Now we know what that is. The cross was painful. Extremely painful. And yet that's what Jesus was telling us to pick up every day. Is life meant to be easy? Is life going to be easy? No. The hard times is what builds in us that character. It's what makes us who we are. And so whenever you get disappointed, take up the cross. Whenever somebody's yelling at you, take up the cross. Whenever things don't go your way, pick up the cross. Why? Because Jesus did it for you. And it's as simple as that. We try to make this thing so much more difficult than it is. He did it for us. Because of Jesus Christ, we're not in sin anymore. God has rescued us. God has rescued us. God has rescued our life. God has given us a new future. God has given us heaven for free. It wasn't free for him. He took up the cross. And so, because of that, because of what he's done, because of all that he's done, because of all that he sacrificed, we should be able to say, you know what? You know what? Boom, I just got hit. You know what? That's nothing to me. Not most people are not going to do that. I know that's extreme, but we should get into that habit. Somebody says something. Okay, praise God. Let me pray for them. Prayer. You know what? Prayer has a way of causing you to just your heart to just change. You ever be in a situation and somebody's upset with you, and then you just in your mind you just start praying. You, no matter what you do, you can't stay mad. You know, it's like you just can't do both. You ever hear the expression, you can't chew gum and walk at the same time? Am I saying it right? Yeah. You know, it's the same thing with prayer. You can't be in sin and be angry and pray at the same time. It just works. They work against each other. So let me encourage you. If you're angry, and maybe this is an area that you struggle with, And I struggled with it when I was younger, and it still comes back here and there. But you know what I got into the practice of? Pray. Right in the middle of it. Oh, somebody's going off. Oh, you or this and that. Let me just pray. It's powerful. It's powerful. How many know we serve a powerful God? We serve a God. Amen. We serve a God who is living. So why don't we take advantage of that? We try to do it in our own strength. I'm just mad. I'm just going to go and punch a punching bag and get it out. Just get it all out. There's not always going to be a punching bag around. You know, I'm just going to go drink this off. I'm tired of this. I'm going back. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do because people don't care anyway. No. Get in that habit. Our flesh is restless. It's just looking to get into something. It's just looking to get it, but you have to master it. You have to master your flesh. I don't know how many people are familiar with the boxer Mayweather. They were interviewing him and they were asking him, when does he train? And how does he prepare for a fight? And he said, I'm always prepared. They said, what do you mean I'm always prepared? He said, I'm always training. So if it was this moment right now, I'm ready to fight. He's undefeated. This is the mentality that he had. People like Jordan, Kobe Bryant, these people have trainers. They train all year round. All year round. They don't give up. They just keep training. Keep preparing. So why is it that as Christians, we think we're just gonna walk through this life and not prepare? Oh, I'm gonna be all right. You know, I'll just go through my, I'm not gonna pray, I'm not gonna read the Bible, I'm not gonna be in church, I'll come to church here and there, I'll be a holiday vacation Christian. And then we wonder why is our marriage messed up? Why is the family messed up? Why can't we get ahead? Why can't we overcome the habits that we have? Because we're not prepared. We're not prepared for the battle. Like I said, there's a work that's in us that we're battling. Now look, most of us are not gonna murder somebody. I hope not. You know. But a lot of us have already been committing murder in our minds, in our hearts. And there's a lot of ways to murder. Maybe you just murdered a relationship and it's gone. Maybe you murdered somebody else's dream. They had a dream, and because of your mouth, they don't have it anymore. And they lost it. You know, you never know what might have thrown somebody over the edge to commit that suicide. Because words, people store those. People store them. They keep them. And you can hit somebody and they'll get healed and they'll forget about it. You say something and it sticks. It sticks. Maybe we have been assassinating people's character, saying things about people behind their backs. That person's made in the image of God. We don't have a right to do that to people. Why should we love people? Because God made everybody in his own image. I want to, everybody turn to 1 John chapter 4. I'll read verse 10 and 11. It says, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The greatest characteristic that defines a Christian is love. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care, you know, how much we go to church. I don't care how much scripture. Some people, you know, I feel like they're just like the walking Bible because they'll always say Bible verses, but their life does not reflect that. I remember somebody, she could quote every scripture. She was the biggest gossip at the job, but she knew every word. I said, wait a minute, it's time to start applying that. It's time to start living that out. The Bible is not just here for us to read and then put up on the shelf, and then it's like a museum, and everybody, and then we take it off, and then we show people that we know it. No, no, it's a life manual. It's a how-to. You want to know how? You want to know how to love your family? You want to know how to see unity come together? You want to know how to love that coworker that gets on your nerves? You want to know how to do these things? It's in the Word. And this book teaches us how to love. Jesus Christ walked this earth and showed us how to love. And what did he do? He died for us. And he didn't die for us while we were nice to him. He died for us while we were still sinners. He died for us while we were his enemies. The Word says that it's easy to love somebody who loves you back. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. What type of love do we have? It's limited. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. That's the love that we have. But as soon as it goes off, now we're holding on to it. Now we got the grudge. Let's stop murdering. Let's stop having these murderous hearts. And let God change us. I want to take this time for people to get it right with God and start fresh. Maybe you've had this type of hostility built up inside, and you need to let it go. I had that when I was a kid. I had that. I had some built up hostility, things that happened to me. I held on to it. But you know what? When I let it go, I was free. You don't realize how bound you are by what somebody else did to you. Don't hold on to it. You're in bondage because of what they did. They don't care. They moved on. They left. They moved on. They've gone on with their life. Now it's time for you to go free. Now it's time for you to go free and allow God to take away that anger, that bitterness that you held on to, and to give you that forgiveness. You know, as we forgive, then we experience more how great the forgiveness of God is. We can't really embrace the forgiveness of God if we're not really forgiving anybody. It's difficult to know how much God loves you when you haven't let it go. So I'm gonna give people an opportunity, and with heads bowed and eyes closed, and I'm just gonna pray. We'll have some time of silence for just people to get it right, to get it right with God and start fresh. Just have some silence. Most gracious Heavenly Father, forgive us. Forgive us, God, for holding on to stuff that people have done to us and allowing that to turn us into monsters worse than they are. Allowing our hearts, that bitterness, to control us, God. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for holding on, God. And Lord, just like that ape grew up and destroyed the man, God, it's destroying us. And we give it away, God. We give away the bitterness. We give away the anger. We give it away to you, Jesus. And God, we want to start fresh, God. That person that hurt us, that took advantage of us, we forgive. And no longer do we want to be murderers in our hearts. God, give us clean hearts. Give us clean hearts, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Want to share with you some announcements. If this is your first time here, if you're a guest with us today, we have something in our bulletin called a commitment card. Fill that out, give it to us. We have a free gift. We have a book for you in the lobby. Also, if you have any prayer requests, please write them down, and we do pray for those prayer requests. If you want any information on anything that's on that side there, we'll send you information about baptism, membership here at Crossroads. So fill these out. I want to talk about a baptism, actually. We have one coming up at the end of August. August 26th is going to be our baptism. If you're interested in being baptized, if you want more information on taking that step of faith, let us know. You can put that on your commitment card. You can also email Pastor Ray or Pastor Miles. Their email addresses are right there in the program. Or talk to one of us about it. But it's a great step of faith to take. So I encourage you, if you haven't been baptized, it's the perfect time. It's going to be August 26th. It's going to be after this service, so it'll probably be about 1 o'clock that we'll have that. Next Sunday after this service, right here, is going to be our Fresh Start with God class. Here at Crossroads, we have classes. There's 4 classes of the Inspired Filled Life series that Pastor Ray has written. It's something that is very much like a college course, actually, on biblical principles. This first class is called Fresh Start with God. It explains who Christ is, who God is, what the church's role is. It's very informative. It's a great way to really delve into the scriptures. So he's going to be holding that class next week after service right in here. So I encourage you, if you haven't taken it, take this class. If you have any questions about Christianity, about Christ, about God, come to that class. Our Daughters of a King ministry will be meeting this Friday right in here at 7 o'clock. They're going through a study, What Happens When Women Say Yes to God. If you haven't been and you want to come, come. It's okay that you're starting in the middle of it. But I encourage you ladies to come out to that. And finally, in your bulletin, you had something. It's like a little card here. It's a checklist. We're going to be collecting school bags and school supplies for kids in the Staten Island area, kids that are in need who can't afford their own. Take this to Staples or Office Depot, wherever you go, and get something off the checklist. We collect them every Sunday through this month. So you can bring them on Sunday, and then on the 31st, it's a Friday night, we're going to have a packing party where we'll just line up all the supplies and we'll pack the school bags to be delivered to those kids who may not be able to afford them. So it's a great way to really show our Christian faith to the community. So now I will go ahead and pray for the offering as our ushers come forward. Father God, we thank you for the truth this morning, God, of your love and what forgiveness really is, God. I pray that we would have hearts that are more like Jesus. God, that would seep into every area of our lives. And God, that we would give cheerfully to your church, God, so that we can spread your word, so that we can spread your love, God. Bless this gift. Bless the giver, God. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. And after the offering's received, you can stand and we'll sing a closing song. Together to give us clean hands, give us a pure heart. We bow our hearts,
we bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands.
Blessed day.